Hey, good morning, Life Point Church. Come on, are you glad to be in church today? What a great day. What a mighty God we serve. So thankful. This is our Independence Day weekend, and what an honor it is to live in a free country. And thank you to all of you who serve to make that a reality for us. Want to honor those who serve in our military, uniformed services, police, firemen, EMS. We're just so honored and thankful for you. What an honor it is to worship together and do life together with you. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as pastor of the church, and I want to greet everybody who's here for the first time or maybe the first time back in a while. Also, those of you who are joining us online through our live stream, our podcast, we got folks around the world watching us every week, and we're so thankful for you, and thank you for joining in however you got here. And I want to invite you also to participate in Bags by the Bumpers next weekend and Serve Day. You can do that by giving generosity. You can send a care package full of all those items if you want. We're going to be dispersing it all over town next weekend as well. But let us know where you're watching from, and reach out for prayer and be a part of our services through the internet. We're so thankful for you and glad to be one church in many places. So welcome to you as well. Well, today we are getting back into our Book of Romans series. 2018 has really been committed to, dedicated overall to the Book of Romans. And our family got to have a four-week break, which we've never had before, never taken before, but our board and our overseers really encouraged us in that. And so I just want to thank you, church, for giving us the freedom and flexibility to do that. And I promise you next Sunday I'm bringing it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to preach like today, but we already booked a guy, and he's super good, and so you're going to hear from him. But next weekend I'll be back preaching, but I'm glad to host today and introduce our guest speaker today. Last few weeks we've had some great voices in our lives, right, everybody? The Voices Summer Series here at Life Point Church. Thankful to Pastor Kevin Miller from Awaken Church, to Bo Jensen, to Mike Bartell with Free International. Pastor J.D. Ost with the skinny pants brought it last week. Come on, somebody. He really threw down on that message last Sunday. So thankful for these guys. And today is the final in our guests of our series of guest preachers. But I'm telling you, today is going to be an incredible time for us. You've heard him before if you came to our men's conference last year. He was the speaker for our men's conference. And this guy's just such a great dude, humble leader, great pastor. He's a church planter out of Columbus, Ohio. But he's the, all right, go Buckeyes. He's the son of a pastor. He's corn-fed Midwestern guy. You'll see in a minute the guy eats a lot of corn, you know, or at least beef that's been fed by corn. But he's just a great dude, humble leader, and a great communicator. And some of you know who he is because of this viral video that went bananas like 2 years ago. In fact, many of you sent it to me going, Pastor, what's up with this? You either love this video or you thought this guy was going straight to hell. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Check out this video. Wait for it. Baptism.
No, don't do this.
Love it.
Superplex. The king size. Superplex.
I'm going to tell you what. This guy's real deal. He loves the word. He loves his people. And he loves baptisms, apparently. I'm going to let him explain that. Hey, would you get on your feet and give it up for my good friend, Pastor Greg Ford. Come on, everybody.
I know. Oh, love you. Thank you. You can be seated. Oh man, such an honor to be here. In a minute, I'll explain what you just saw. But I want to just say, I am so excited to be here. I've had this one circled and starred on the calendar for a few reasons. As Pastor Mike mentioned, I preached a men's conference last year. I've got to say, this church has the highest concentration of masculine men of God I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you're a single female on the hunt, you are in the right place. Just keep your head on a swivel. It is only a matter of time. We had a great time. And the second reason I was excited to come is, I don't know if you know, but the reputation of this church is starting to really spread across the country. People know what's happening in Clarksville at Life Point, and God is doing something special here. And it's not only affecting this city, it's inspiring a lot of people. building people's faith, and so I've had a chance to just watch and from a distance and being able to be here, just excited. And then also the biggest reason is just because I love your pastor and his wife and his family so much. They're amazing people. You know, we live in a world where it seems like there's a phony leader around every corner. Somebody can kind of get up and wow people on a stage, and then you find out behind the scenes they have no integrity, no character. And I just got to tell you, I've had much more opportunity to see Pastor Mike and Steph off the stage than on the stage. And these guys are the real deal. And you are blessed. So I honor you, Pastor. Thank you. And I'm going to get in the Word in just a minute, and then we'll get you out of here, and you can beat the Baptist to the buffet. The video you saw was from, you know, we planted this church 7 years ago, and I was baptizing a guy in our church who became a really good friend of mine, and he's actually like a lyricist and a rapper, so I wrote this like spoken word, and I spoke it over him before we baptized him, and because we were real familiar, I took a liberty, and I gave him kind of a, and threw him down, and there's a big splash, and he comes out of the water pumping his fist, and the crowd, everybody got up on their feet. It was like Sister Act 2. And it was awesome, you know, and so I started having people after that. They're like, hey, Pastor, I'm getting baptized next month. Man, you better throw me down, man. I've been through some stuff. You better throw me down. You better throw me down. I started to think about it. I'm like, this isn't all bad, because I'm thinking, you know, baptism is simply a symbol, is a visual of what's happened inside of a person. So you're not saved by being baptized. You're baptized because you're saved. And then it shows the old is gone, the new is here, all that type of thing, right? So I'm thinking, why not have the external experience match the internal? And if somebody wants to be thrown down, well, who am I? But of course, I didn't want to throw somebody down against their will. So what we started doing is when somebody go to be baptized, we say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard do you want to go down? Fair question. There's nothing in the Bible, by the way, that says you have to baptize people at a certain velocity. I'm going to say like 2 miles an hour. It's just, okay. So if you say a 2, we're going to gently lower you down. But brother, sister, you say 10, 11, 25, you're getting slammed in Jesus' name. And so it just happened that one morning a guy's in the church and he cuts up this video and you know, on his phone and puts it out there, and this comedian gets a hold of it and he tags it with like, you know, this thing. It says like, when your pastor wanted to be in the WWE but got called into ministry, and which is funny. I mean, that is funny. And so then it went viral. Now like 30 million people viewed it, which, you know, I get all this feedback. You know, on one hand, people are like, that's amazing. That's inspiring. I want to be baptized again. Some people are thinking, I want to baptize a coworker. How many of you have a coworker you'd like... Seriously, you'd like to be the one. And some people were inspired, and others were like, this guy's a heretic, he must be stopped. But how many of you know you can't let the Facebook comment section define your life? You do the right thing for the right reason, let the chips fall where they may. I promise you, I was not trying to go viral. I was in the moment celebrating life, and I'm hugging these guys. These guys, you know, I could tell you their stories, but it's just amazing. So, you know, I'm not trying to get attention, but I don't mind serving the devil notice that today's not his day. And so today, after I think it's third service, if they're going to let me, I'm jumping and be a part of a, you know, I like a party. How many of you know of all the party people in the world, it ought to be Christians? You know what I'm saying? How come the world got to hijack the word party? You ever notice that? Somebody said, I used to be a partier. They mean I used to get drunk, I used to get high, I used to hook up with people, make a bunch of decisions. The world party is to forget, the church party is to remember. Of all the people in the world who should be partying, it's us. And if we're going to celebrate something, how about new life in Jesus? So that's what we're going to do. All right, I better get into this word. I'm going to run out of time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 8. In a minute, I'm going to start reading there, but I want to set a little bit of a foundation, context for what we're about to read. The book of Romans was written by a guy named Paul. And he kind of sets this passage up by talking about what it means to stay free. How do you stay free? And many of us come to a service like this. You sit in an environment, you hear a sermon, you come to a revelation of Jesus, a revelation of the gospel, which is just the good news of Jesus, and you give your life to Jesus, and you experience freedom. And Paul lays all of that out in Romans, what it means to be saved or to have Jesus at the center of your life. And so a lot of people come to church and come to services and walk out in freedom. And then they struggle to stay free. They struggle to stay free. I think we've all experienced that. I want to start with this concept that you have never seen your own face. It's impossible to see your own face. You would have to take your eyeballs out of your head and turn them around back into your face to see. You can't see it. You've never seen your own face. We've seen your face, but you haven't seen your own. The only thing you've ever seen of your face is a reflection. You've seen a reflection of your face. And depending on the reflection that you look at, depends on whether you even really know what you look like. If you look into a dirty mirror or a distorted mirror, you get a view of yourself that's not even accurate. And what Paul talks about is he says, look, one of the reasons people don't stay free is because they don't even understand who they are. They don't have a clear picture of who you are. So because of that, it causes you to act in a way that's not even accurate to who you really are. So the gospel and what we're about to read is what we're going to do is give you a very clear, very true picture of yourself. And we're gonna talk about how to stay free, not just how to get free. Many of you don't need to get free. You're already free. You just haven't been acting free. You know, we're 4th of July weekend, free. Free's the big word. This is a perfect conversation for Independence weekend. But friend, it's very possible to live in a free country and to be free within that country and to not be incarcerated and to have your liberties and things and still live in bondage. Not after today. We're going to learn how to stay free. And Paul starts talking about this. Actually, we're going to backtrack just a little bit into chapter 7. Paul talks a little bit about the law. And when he says the law, he's not talking about the speed limit and the laws of the land. He's talking about the law of Moses, also known as the Torah. 613 laws of righteous living, of perfect living. What it would look like to be pious and righteous and moral. What that behavior would look like. And so Paul says here, He talks about how he's having a hard time staying free. And he says in Romans 7, 14 and 15, he says, the trouble is not with the law. The law is fine. The law is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. I am all too human, a slave to sin. In other words, I'm looking at a dirty image. I don't understand. He says, I don't really understand myself. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. He goes on to just kind of loathe himself. He's like, you know, I am a wretched man. And the whole time he's basically describing a distorted image of himself. I'm wretched. He said, the thing I want to do is the thing I don't do, and the thing I don't do is the thing I want to do. And he talks about when you're looking into a dirty mirror, just common mistakes that we've all made, and some of us continue to make. One of them that he describes here is what I like to call the willing-doing gap. The willing-doing gap. I'm willing to do the right thing, but there's a gap between what I'm willing to do and actually doing it. I know better, but I don't do better. How many of you know just because you know better doesn't mean that you're going to do better? This morning I woke up, and I had an issue with the willing-doing gap at the Continental Breakfast at the Hampton Hotel. I walked down, and literally right next to one another is an apple and a donut. That's not a hard choice in terms of knowing what to do. I was willing, but then there's doing. And when we have the willing doing gap is I know I should eat the apple. But doggone it, that donut has glaze and sprinkles and I can smell it and the aroma. Okay, willing doing gap is when you're in an argument with your spouse and you're going, don't say anything, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. And then you say it. Willing doing gap is knowing that you're already in debt and you really can't afford the new outfit, but oh, it just looks so good and it fit just right. And if God really didn't want me to have it, why would he make it fit so well? And so you just keep scanning that card. Willing doing gap. I know better, but I don't do better. And this is Paul in Romans 7. Man, the thing I don't want to do, I do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. I'm a wretched man. And so the whole time he's going, this is, why can't I stay free? Why can I not stay free? And then he says in verse 25, and this is the last verse, by the way, in chapter 7 before we go into chapter 8. He says, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I want to obey God's law, but because of my sin nature, he says, I'm a slave to sin. How do I stay free? Okay, here we go. This is where it's going to get good here. Here we go. Romans 8, starting in verse 1. He says, so now, there is no condemnation to those who belong in Christ Jesus. Now, I could spend about 2 hours on this. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation in the original language was a judicial term of the judge slams the gavel, guilty. You're guilty. It says there's therefore no more guilty as charged to those who are in Christ Jesus. One of the ways you're going to stay free is when you keep beating yourself up. If you quit beating yourself up for stuff that you're not condemned for anymore. You see, one of the reasons people think salvation's a gimmick is because they come into a place like this and a guy like me stands up here and says, all you got to do is pray this prayer and then you're saved and all your sins are forgiven and all that. And it feels like a gimmick because a gimmick, the recipe for a gimmick is basically big results at no expense. Yeah, 1999, you do this, we'll put hair back on your head. You know, 9999, 3 easy installments, and you get this thigh master, and you're going to look like this buff guy over here. And you're going, well, you know, there's no way I'm going to get that result for that cost. The thing with salvation is it was extremely expensive. The only difference is you didn't have to pay for it. He paid for it. Now, the receipt is the cross. That's the receipt. It's paid for. What we tend to do, those that live in condemnation, is I take and I keep going through the cash register to try to pay for something that's already been paid. It's already been paid. The cross is the receipt. You would not, if you had the receipt to an item, you would not go back to the cashier and pay for it again. Those who live in condemnation, they stay in that mindset of shame and guilt, and they just keep beating themselves up for 1986 and 2006 and 2 months ago. And so they just stay in that shame, and it's weighty, and it's heavy, and it keeps them in bondage when they're free. They're looking in a dirty mirror, and they keep seeing condemnation, and he's like, I clean that thing. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. And so he says, you got to get a clear view of yourself. And then look at this. He says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you. There's that word, free. The power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Verse 3, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sin nature. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sin nature. Now, here's what I want to do. Before we get into really who you are, I want to get one issue that many of us have. Before we get this really clear revelation of the gospel, we deal with the willing doing gap, and we deal with this other thing, which is we don't know how to be free. And this is what we tend to do. And I've done this, and some of you have done this, and some of you are doing this. And it's this. It is natural for you to want to be free. That's natural. You don't want to be constricted by anything. Anything that tries to constrict or control you, you want to break out of it. Like, for example, if you're in a relationship with a jealous person, you ever been in a relationship with a jealous person that tried to control you with their jealousy, control you with their anger, everything in you wanted to get, that repels people. I don't want to be in a relationship with a jealous person. That's unhealthy for you to try to control me with your jealousy. And so I don't want to be in that relationship. I want to be free from that relationship. If you've been in a home, you grew up with parents that were very constricting, very controlling. Everything in you wanted to break out. You wanted to be free. You wanted to spread your wings. If you're in a job that's very constricting, they chain you to the desk, and you fantasize and dream about something where you have more freedom, and you have, you know, that's what you want to be. We want to be free. What we do, here's the big mistake we make in our intuition and our desire to want to be free, is we choose rebellion. Because rebellion is fake freedom. Rebellion makes us think we're free. We're not free. If you were constricted, one of the ways you tried to break free was to rebel. Well, mom, dad said to do this, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the opposite of what the authoritarians and the people who are controlling me, whatever they tell me to, I'm going to do the opposite so I can be free. But what happens when you choose rebellion is you're not free, you're lost. Rebellion is not real freedom. It's that you are lost. And this is what Paul references in Romans 6. He says, look at this. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. You were free. You thought you were free, but you were rebellious. You were lost. Let me explain. I have a six-year-old son named Hudson. He's on the autism spectrum. And autistic kids, you know, their bodies develop faster than their minds. And so my son is big enough now that he can get out of the house. So he can unlock the door and leave. He can put up the garage door and leave. But his mind doesn't understand when he gets out what's going on. And so about 6 months ago, it's winter in Columbus. I come downstairs and the door to our garage door is open. My wife was gone. I was there with my son, and the door's open. And then I go out to the garage, and the garage door's open. And so my son has gotten out. He's busted out of the house, and he got out. He was free. He was free, but he got lost. And so I don't know where he is. And so I start running around the neighborhood calling for him, and I'm running, and I finally find him like two blocks away. He's shivering. He's cold. He's lost. He got out, and he didn't know how to get home. Now, technically, he was free because he could have gone left or right. He could have gone up or down. He could have gone any way he wanted. He was free, but he wasn't free. He was lost. That's what rebellion does. Rebellion is like, well, I'm free, and you're just proud of how free you are, but you're not free. You're lost. You're lost. And so he says, hey, in Romans 6, he says, you were slaves to sin. You were free from the obligation to do right. What was the result? Now you're ashamed of the things you used to do, the things that ended in eternal doom, but now you're free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Listen, you need to understand the difference between free and lost. Big difference. And so Paul is helping us here to understand the difference and to find out, how do I stay free? Now, this is where I might hurt your feelings. Verse 3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. You need to understand something really important, and it's this. The Bible is not a manual for living. I know they told you that in Sunday school years ago, that the Bible is a manual for living, but it's not. It's not. If you think the Bible is a manual for living, if you think that's what the Bible is, that it is a manual for living, that that's what it exists for, is to be a manual for living. If you think that's what it is, I got two words for you. Good luck. Good luck. Not because it's not true, not because the law is wrong, as Paul says in Romans 7. It's not, the issue is not with the law. He said, the issue is with me. The Bible is not a manual for living. The Bible is a revelation of Jesus. That's what the Bible is. The whole thing, Old Testament, New Testament, it all points to Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. And Paul says here, he doesn't imply it. He says it explicitly here in Romans 8:3. He says the law of Moses was unable to save us. And this is a guy, Paul, who was like the master of trying to keep the law. You understand, the most righteous, the smartest, the most biblically literate person in the room right now is junior varsity compared to Paul. Paul memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He over 5,800 verses committed to memory. This guy studied in what would be like the Harvard under the number one rabbi of the day, Gamaliel. This guy was zealous. He kept the law. He was as good as you can be. And he said, I can't do it. I cannot do it. He said, the issue's not the law, the issue's me. I can't stay free if it's going to be up to me and up to you to keep the 613 laws. If it's just a manual and I'm going to try to live, at best, this is the best you'll do if you try to do that. The best you'll do is self-righteousness. It's the best you'll do. What you'll do in self-righteousness is simply you look around and you kept more of the 613 than other people, and so you feel good about that. But unfortunately, you break one, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. It's like, you can't do it. Good luck. He said the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sin nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. You gotta understand something. You are free already. He who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. You can be free and choose bondage based on your mind, based on how you think. Understand what we're talking about here. This is not an issue of salvation. This is not an issue of whether God likes you or not. This is not an issue of whether God's mad at you or not. You see, what a lot of Christians do who don't have a real revelation of the gospel, by the way, gospel simply means good news. This is the good news. Those that don't have a good revelation of the gospel, they paint God or they imagine God really a lot like a very dysfunctional father. And I have news for you. God is not a dysfunctional father. We think of God, if you don't understand this and you just think that your job is to try to keep the 613 laws with all the discipline that you have and all the willpower that you have. And if you don't, you're going to set God off. We walk around God like we got to tiptoe around him or we might set him off. We don't know if God's going to be mad today and mad tomorrow and just don't want to make dad mad and dad might go off and dad might go crazy. And we tiptoe and worry. And yet when Jesus, by the way, showed up and said, hey, let me try to make up a story to help you all understand what your dad's really like. Let me help you understand what dad's really like. This is what dad's like. When you blew it really bad, like you took half his money and you went off to this wild place and you blew it in the most scandalous living you could possibly come up with, and you just broke his heart and you decided to come home. When he saw you a long way off and recognized your walk, he had been coming out every day just hoping you'd come home. And when he saw you from a distance, he ran out there and he killed the fattened calf and he put a ring on your finger and put a robe on your back and said, come on home. My son was dead, now he's alive. That's how the Father thinks about you. So just understand, this has nothing to do with whether God likes me or not, or whether I'm God's cool with me or he's for me or against. This what we're about to deal with, how to stay free. This is not about how to get free. This is how to stay free. I stay free by renewing my mind. It's about a renewed mind. He says, understand, get this really clear reflection. The reason that you're right with God is not because your ability to keep the law of Moses. Good luck if that's what you think you're doing. Jesus did the work you couldn't do. And so you've got to receive that grace. Because I received that grace, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And now because I understand that I am free, I'm not lost anymore. I've been found and I'm free. Now I understand what true freedom is. Now, how do I stay free? How do I stay free? Because if you don't know how to stay free, you'll be free and live in bondage. It's very possible. Very possible. We've all done it. We've all done it. We've all been in that service. Have you ever been in a service? The pastor's talking to you. And you're like, did my husband send him an email? You ever been that? Pastor Mike's up here just talking right to, I mean, it's like he followed you around all week and he knew what was going on with you, you know, and you're like, how did he know? And you go, okay, Lord, I'm quitting this thing. I'm going to start doing that thing and I'm never going to do that again. I'm always going to do this from now. And you just made, and I'm free, and you walk out, your shame's gone. And you know what I mean? The band's on it that day and you're going in and you're just, I mean, you just take them shackles off my feet so I can dance. You're just loving. Okay. And then you go, and then Tuesday and Wednesday hit, and it, I mean, it's just real quick and you're back in. And there's only a few times you do that and you start to go, what is going on, man? Is this whole thing fake? Am I just a wretched man? This is exactly where Paul is. Chapter 7, I'm a wretched man. I can't stay free. Here we go. He's about to teach us how to do it. Verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. It's right here. It's a renewed mind. A few months ago, I was sitting with a man in our church who's dealt with addiction issues throughout his life and all kinds of stuff, pornography, drugs, alcohol, all these different things. And so we're talking, and he said, you know, I've been doing study on addiction. And he said, you know, I found out, man, he's like, I'm addicted to so many things. He's like, I just trade one addiction for another, and I've been free at times. I can't stay free. And so he started talking about food addiction. He said, you know, actually, like, there's some of the carbs and these things you eat hit the same pleasure centers that drugs hit, and da 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 da. And as he's talking, I'm starting to feel convicted because, you know, I wasn't a drug addict or a sex addict or whatever it might be, but don't mess with my carbs. I'm being serious. Like, I mean, I'd be like, you know, hey, man, I mean, I was feeling pretty good about it, but it's like, I have an unhealthy connection to kettle chips. And as he's talking, all I can think is 1 Corinthians 6 when Paul says, don't be mastered by anything. So I thought, you know what? For discipleship, man, you know, I'm give up carbs. I'm going to give up carbs. He's talking about this keto diet, which is give up carbs and sugar. So I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it. I just bought 3 bags of kettle chips in my pantry. So I'm going to do it. Cold turkey, man. It's cold turkey. I'm going off these carbs, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to break this deal. So I go, I'm not joking. 10 p.m. that night, 10 o'clock, I'm laying in bed fantasizing about carbs. Fantasizing. I'm laying there. I'm like, I know exactly where that bag is. I know what the crunch tastes like off that kettle chip. I'm like, ah, you know what? Just one bowl. Just one. I'll just do one bowl. I won't do the whole bag. I'll just do one. And I'm in a battle. Stay the course. Wake up the next day. I'm thinking about popcorn and pretzels and all this stuff. And I'm moping around. I get the carb flu and getting hangry. You know what I'm talking about? Not hungry, hangry. And my friend says to me, he says, dude, you ain't going to make it. I said, you ain't going to make it unless you do one thing different. I said, what? He said, you got to stop thinking about what you can't have and start thinking about what you can have. He said, you will not make it. He said, if you keep going to the grocery store and moping around the carb aisle, like, bro, you ain't gonna last. He explained the science of it. He said, here, look, carbs and sugar give you these quick shots of energy, but they cause you to store fat. He said, actually, you eat less, eat no carb, no sugar, and eat lots of fat. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He holds up bacon. He said, you see that? See that? You can eat all of that. I said, bacon? Yeah, dude. Wait, you telling me I can eat bacon and lean up? He holds up that bacon. I had to shout off of that bacon. I got on the good foot. Well, I can eat bacon. Lots of it? Yeah, every single morning you can eat bacon. He goes, go get the meat. Don't get the lean meat. Don't get the lean beef. Get that dripping fat stuff. Are you kidding me? Yeah, man. Eat all the beef. All of a sudden I start, I can make it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Come on. I'm like, I'm more than a conqueror through. Okay, what? He said, man, if all you do is think about what you can't eat, you're just going to want to eat it more. It's an issue of this thing. And Paul says very clearly, he says, if you are dominated by your sinful nature, you'd be thinking about sin. If you're just thinking about your temptation, you're hanging around the sin aisle, you're hanging around the temptation aisle, you're hanging around your vices. And he said, if that's what you think about, it's not an issue of are you free or not. It's not an issue of are you saved or not. You are free. You've chosen to not be free because you've incarcerated yourself with your thoughts. He says, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about what pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Renewed mind. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your attitude. I'm talking about your attitude. I'm talking about the frame of mind that you go into work. I'm talking about how you look at problems. I'm talking about your anxiety levels based on everything going on in your externals. This is you think you're living in bondage. You think your marriage is bondage. You think your job is bondage. You think your relationships are bondage. You think that you just see yourself. This is the reflection. You see yourself as locked away. You see yourself as broken and you see yourself as poor. It's like, are you kidding me? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. You got to understand who you are. He said, that's why some people are still under control of their sin nature and they can never please God, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Look, can you hear him trying to give an accurate reflection? He's like, quit looking at that distorted image of yourself. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. I'm going to just jump ahead 4 chapters to Romans 12:2 that says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think, renewing your mind. He says, this is how you stay free. You stay free by renewing your mind. You stay free by not letting the world conform you, because there's a current, there's a gravitational pull of the world. Have you ever been to the beach? You go out in the ocean, you put your towel on the sand, and the current, you don't even necessarily know, but it's dragging you down the beach. If you ever been, like, you look back, and you're like, where's my towel? Friend, your towel didn't move. Your towel's in the same spot. You moved. You let the current drag you. You let the current conform you. Your towel's been there all along. When he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind all the time, it means you're just constantly going, where's my towel? Where's my towel? I'm not going to let the current, I'm not going to let the world conform me to its value system, to its pattern. So the question is, how often do you need to renew your mind? If you're going to stay free, this isn't about getting free, you're already free. How are you going to stay free? How often do you have to renew your mind? The answer is, how often does your sin nature try to control you and the world try to conform you? I don't know. What is it for you? Monthly? Weekly? Daily? Hourly? Minutely? Secondly? Nanosecondly? I don't know. How often is the world, what's your environment? Where are you at? How often are you getting sucked back into your temptations? How often are you, does the sin nature after you? How often is the world trying to conform you to get you to define yourself based on your success or based on a misplaced identity? How often does the world distort your mirror? How often does your sin nature cause you to think that you're a wretched man? You're not a wretched man. You're not a wretched man. And then this is where it just gets real good. And then I'm going to be done. And Pastor Mike, by the way, here, let me tell you why you want to come back next week. Pastor Mike is not only rested. He's been off a few weeks. This dude's going to preach till the back row stands up next week. I promise you. You could feel him, right? He was ready. I mean, he's like a stick of dynamite. And next week, they're going to light the fuse. He's going to preach the paint off the wall next week. This dude is a caged animal, and he's going to pick right up where I left off. But here's why I'm going to throw him the baton. You ready? Look at this. Verse 10. And that Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives life because you've been made right with God. In verse 11, and you need to just say this every single time you need to renew your mind. This is what you need to renew it with. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let's just think. This is not figurative. This is not C.S. Lewis. This is not the Lord of the Rings. This really happened.
This is not fantasy. Jesus was a real guy who died. They put him in a tomb. His pulse wasn't there, and something raised him from the dead. Something raised him from the dead. It was the Spirit of God. And that same Spirit, the exact same one, not a different one, not a different one, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So what would you ever be insecure about? What would you ever be insecure about? If God is for you, who can be against you? Oh, but I'm not educated enough. I don't care. You have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you. But I come from 3 generations of divorce. Oh, that's really sad, but guess what? It doesn't have to be your fate. You're free. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. What are you going to tiptoe into Monday for? Why would you be intimidated at the situation that's in front of you? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit, the exact same one living inside you. Friend, you are free, and you stay free by every time the sin nature tries to pull you back in. Every time the world tries to conform you to their values and their standard, you come back with the gospel. You come back with the good news. You clean up that mirror and say, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. It's not because I'm so good at keeping the law of Moses. I couldn't keep it. It's because God made he who had no sin to be sin for me so that I might become the righteousness of God. It's the gospel. So I want you to stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. And listen, I want you to, we're just going to say some stuff out loud because I want you to hear it coming out of your mouth. I want you to hear yourself saying the word of God. And what we're going to do is we're going to quote together the first and the last verse that we looked at today. And so I want you to repeat after me. There is therefore no condemnation. Come on, say there is therefore no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, when that shame and that guilt, that dirty mirror, what a wretched man, I can't do it. Can't do it. The enemy comes again. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Renewed mind. Clean up that distorted mirror. All right, repeat after me. The same Spirit.
Same Spirit.
The same Spirit.
Same Spirit.
That raised Christ from the dead.
Lives in me.
The same Spirit.
Same Spirit.
That raised Christ from the dead.
Lives in me.
The same Spirit.
Same Spirit.
That raised Christ from the dead.
Lives in me.
That's a renewed mind. Would you put your hands up and say, thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for freedom. God, I thank you that not only did you set me free, but you keep me free by renewing my mind on your word. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are of good report, that's what I'm going to think on these things. Lord, that we have fresh new minds, and that causes us to not be conformed to the world and not be slaves to our sin nature, but to be free in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I want to give an opportunity today for you to respond. Some of you have come in, you say, Greg, you're talking about freedom. You're talking about this relationship with God. You're talking about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you. I don't think I have that. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much he sent his son so that whoever believes. So it describes spiritual conception, that the finished work of Jesus meets a person's belief and they're new in Christ. And now their new DNA is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And you know what those traits look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You say, I come in, I've been doing it my own way. You talked about the willing-doing gap. Maybe you're in the most humble place you've ever been in your life because you know about your propensity to fail or to not stay free. You say, today, what I want to do is I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to accept that good news of the gospel. I'm going to put myself out of the driver's seat of my life, put Jesus in the driver's seat. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you today. If that's you. So I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Surrender to him. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to pray a prayer according to the word of God. And if you agree with these words, I want you to adopt them as your own as I pray them. Lord, I give you my life. I come humbly before you. God, I receive you today as my Savior because I realize that I'm unable to do it on my own. That the wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I realize that today. I know that you made me, you created me, and I give myself back to you. So God, today I pray that you would take that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans 8:11, and that you would place it inside of me. And today, Lord, I not only receive your saving grace, but your direction as my Lord. And I am positive I won't bat 1,000, but I'll get back up. Now, Lord, surround me with community. Help me to learn and unlearn according to your will. And I give you my life, full surrender to you. And Lord, I know that there's therefore no condemnation. I'm not gonna spend the rest of my life beating myself up for last year or last decade or whatever. I'm gonna spend my life living in the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. I thank you in Jesus' name. And all the church said amen.